Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the quiet, for your warmth and your sunlight. And Lord, we do thank you for just your spirit that is always, always set on interpreting your word to us. Lord, that we may be edified, built up, encouraged, enabled, strengthened. Lord, all the things that you do when we consider your word. So God, just be mighty among us today. Lord Jesus, shepherd us today. Holy Spirit, just guide us with your light and your truth. And we just thank you, God, that you do all things well. And we just rest in you and are excited to be with you. So bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey.
Hey.
So welcome to session 27. And we got a lot to cover.
Okay, it was good.
It was good. Thank you. Thank you for your prayer. Also, Jim, just so you know, the Lucas family has been battling some kind of cold.
Oh, really?
They've all, or most of them, have been sick off and on for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
We just saw Vinny yesterday.
Did you really? Oh, okay.
He's still trying to recover.
So I'm glad. Yeah, well, we got to pray for them.
Yeah, he had that before, too.
Vinny?
Yeah, just about 2 months ago.
Yeah, he's come back, and they're all, a number of them are struggling with kind of passing it back and forth. Yeah, just real bad cold symptoms and congestion.
Feeling lousy.
Yeah, when you have a family that big, you're going to have
share
things. You get a lot of avenues to illness. It's a terrible way to look at it. Okay, so we're going to look at verses 15 through 18 today of Ephesians 6. And again, the overarching theme in Ephesians is the letter dwells profoundly on the person of Jesus Christ and the church. And the context for this session is the trumpet call of the previous verses to be strong in the Lord and to withstand, stand, and stand, therefore, in the spiritual battle that rages in our present reality, having put on the whole armor of God. And the learning targets for enduring understanding from this session, it was hard to capture it all. But the first is to understand the components of the spiritual armor that God makes available through Christ to the believer. And the second is to understand that the true battle position for the believer is that of prayer, birthed of the Holy Spirit through wholehearted surrender to Him, employing the Word of God in intercession for the saints. And, Paul is addressing again the church's warfare. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of prayer, but he specifically is looking at the church's warfare. But, again, these fit any prayer, any kind of prayer, if you want to look at it. And I couldn't not look at verse 14. I know Bill led you guys last week in verse 14. Do you remember some major points from that verse? Well, let's just read. Let's just read the verses first before we... Okay. Actually, why don't we just read 10 through... let's read 10 through 20. Just kind of put the whole thing in perspective. Tansy, you want to do that?
Sure. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Okay, thank you. So verse 14 is where Paul begins to enumerate individually the components of this spiritual armor. And, you know, you'll notice that all of these verbs involve our taking initiative. Okay. You know, it doesn't happen automatically. So I think, you know, there's an important lesson in that. All right. And in verse 14, he says, stand therefore. That's really the last of a triad of stand words. Okay, there's withstand, to stand, and stand, or therefore, in verses 13 and 14. So, tell me, what does that mean when we see stand in triplicate? What's the message there?
We are going to be assaulted and assailed by mighty winds that will try to knock us down, knock us away from God, knock us away from relationship, and bring us down, literally knock us over.
Yeah.
And we're to stand.
Is that not the life we live? But if we're called to stand, then what also does that mean? That we don't what?
Buckle.
Yeah.
We don't cave.
Yeah. We don't cave. We don't
surrender. We don't retreat.
We don't retreat. Because what is it about this armor?
It's the armor of God.
Yeah.
It's going to protect us
against
all of this and enable and empower us to stand. It's His armor.
And what part of the body is not protected?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, you've got the breastplate.
You got all your vitals covered.
You got the helmet.
You got the
shield.
You got the breastplate. You got the shield.
I keep thinking about the feet, but...
No, you have the gospel shod. There's one part of the body. There's no armor.
Yours.
No?
Tell us, Jeff.
Your back.
No.
We don't run. We stand. There is no armor for the back. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just blow your socks off? Yeah. We don't run. We just don't run. We stand our ground. God will enable us to stand, withstand, and stand there for. And boy, you know, we're not to run from the battle. The Spirit of Christ within us endues us with heroism that's totally predicated on standing in Christ. We are heroic in Christ just by getting up and doing what God has put before us to do every day. Because all day long, there are arrows and assaults, and there are negative thoughts and people who, you know, make you stressed and you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just keep having this vision that we're coming. We've been prepared. We've been prepared for a very long time, this body of believers. But we're coming into a time where we're going to have to really have this as clear as a bell.
Yes.
So that we can keep moving forward.
Yeah. I so agree with
you. Because I have to say, I mean, it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be on the radar screen. And, you know, there are two verses that came out. Again, I have no idea what... Bill took you to, and I'm sure it was really excellent, so just use this as additional. You know, we have to really understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. Yeah. And I got to tell you, Isaiah 59. I love this. I've never studied this verse, but R.P. Martin took me there.
52 or 59?
Isaiah 59. What did I put, 52?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a typo. So all you who are listening, It's 59. All right, and this is a very beautiful and compelling picture of the zeal of the Lord. But can you read from the middle of verse 15? I know that's weird to jump in at the middle, and just read 15b through 17.
The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak.
Wow. Oh, this is God. This is like, you know, the Revised Standard says his own arm. Okay, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, the helm of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in fury.
Wow.
As a, you know, this is the zeal of the Lord to restore his creation. I mean, oh my gosh. When we get up in the morning, you know, think about this. You know, put that picture in your head. And then right behind that, Bill, can you read Revelations 19, 11 through 16?
I don't know how we can move on from this.
I know. This is like drinking from a fire hose. I mean,
this is crazy.
This, I tell you. I was supposed to go through verse 20. I just said, forget about it. You know, John can bail me out. Go ahead, okay. Bill.
11 to...
11, actually, yeah, just 11 through 16.
Through 16. Yeah. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faith and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe is his robe, and on his thigh is the name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
So, I mean, wow. What if, when we get up in the morning, and we know a day is coming that has a lot of challenges, what if we went in to that day with these verses written on our souls? What would happen? Mm-hmm. So it's really... All right. You know, there's one other thing about this. We are called to stand. We're... are called to not run, but what is the other thing we're not called to do?
Attack.
Yes! That's it.
Those who, what, wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Yeah. And, you know, what's the danger with us attacking?
We can harm people, and we can push them away from God as opposed to letting Him reveal Himself through us.
Exactly.
Justice is His. Yep. Vengeance is His.
Yeah.
And I'm jumping ahead, I know, but this is just something that I've been on my heart for years. The one offensive weapon we have, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God.
Yes.
And the Word of God will separate people, right? Bone from, in other words, it will convict them. The Word of God is there. As it has convicted us, the Word of God will convict people in His time, in His way.
Yeah.
But it's not us killing them physically or emotionally or spiritually.
Yeah.
We are offering the Word because it's true, and God will use it to reveal himself to them and reveal themselves to them and their need for him, all of that.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, actually, you've answered the question. We haven't even gotten to the handout yet, by the way. So the verse is the right verse, but it's looking at verse 15. So yeah. Anyway, okay. But isn't it interesting? You know, when we attack, mm-hmm. what is so likely to enter in and mess the whole thing up?
Our agenda, our battle plan,
yes,
our, you know,
flesh.
This needs to happen,
yeah.
So I'm,
yeah.
and I have to make it happen.
I don't even know how you can attack.
The flesh, yeah. Well, you can't.
Surrender to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
your flesh feels like attacking, but then you go to the Holy Spirit and you just get
yeah.
flipped around.
Yeah.
So if you're attacking, you're doing it usually in your flesh.
Yeah. And pride, and even with a good-hearted motive of these people
oh, yeah.
lost and need
mm-hmm.
to be saved, and I'm going to save them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Vikings used to convert people by the sword, and that was the metal sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believe or die.
Yeah, believe or die. Really,
I'm not called to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, gosh, I tell you, I wish we had 3 hours. Like we did that one day.
Oh, the snowstorm!
The snowstorm day. Remember that? Just delightful. All right, so therefore, stand therefore. Okay, now let's, again, you probably went through this last week, but having girded your loins with truth, or does anybody have the belt of truth?
Yes.
Okay, put on the belt of truth, and what does that belt symbolize? It's a sign of something. Did you? I guess you didn't go into this last week.
I remember holding up the robe.
You know, I'm going to get my notes.
Holding up the robe.
That's right. That they used to wear loose clothing, and before they
yeah.
went to battle, they had to
okay.
tie
so
up their
you are. Clothes. Yeah. Don't get. Yeah. It is. You are in active duty. All right. It's a sign that you are commissioned and ready to roll. You know. Hitch up your trousers, or gird your loins, or so. It's symbolic of that. But it's the belt of truth. What about truth? Why do we need that? I mean, there's a lot of things that are getting involved in us getting ready, but it's the belt of truth comes first.
You have to have a clear picture of truth, because what's going to be coming at you
is
untruth.
Is untruth. Yes.
In wonderful little packages.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
perfectly designed for each one of us. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if you ever read Screwtape Letters with C.S. Lewis, the demons know you. They've studied you. They know exactly how to get you. And if you don't believe that, just watch yourself for a while. And you go, wow, the things I fall for are unbelievable. It's the same old, same old, same old things. It's like that little strand inside of you that you haven't yet allowed the Lord to redeem or heal or whatever. You know?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have the belt of truth. Because what? Father is the...
Father of
Satan
lies.
Is the father of lies. I mean,
yeah.
all day long.
Yeah.
Little voices are going to... try to deceive you.
What is that verse, little foxes, the little foxes?
Oh,
and
yeah. They steal the grapes Solomon's? Or something?
Yeah,
or
they just steal it from you.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Satan is the father of lies. So we need truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what precedes knowing truth? You must have what?
Revelation.
Yes. You must have light and Tansy. What do you
perspicacity?
You must have it. You have to see through. You have.
And
to.
The only way you see through, though, is that you have to really be diligent in spending time with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if you put it off, forget it. You're done for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think it's okay. I'm not speaking for anybody else, but sometimes I think, okay, well, I'll do this. You know, at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well. By 10 o'clock in the morning, I've been shot down a couple of times because I haven't started.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at what an easy target I am sometimes.
Oh, we're sure. We are targets.
Yeah.
The old saw is that the unbeliever is not a target of Satan. You say, yeah. Satan's already got him. We're the targets.
Yeah.
We're the ones that are standing. All right, so that's interesting that he begins with the belt. And then it's put on the breastplate of righteousness. And, you know, as you think of that, what is the most vital organ that's protected by a breastplate?
The heart.
The heart, yeah. And, you know, what about your heart? What about in the spiritual sense?
It's the center of our being. I mean, that's where God is at work.
Yeah.
Through our heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the place of attitude, position of our heart that determines our mind. And
yes.
Our actions. We're going
Absolutely.
To
do. So, yep. Yeah. Yeah. We must, and it's the breastplate of righteousness. What is the thing that Satan loves to do to us to bring us down with regard to the heart?
Well, our hearts are deceitful about all things.
Exactly.
So it's
right.
such an easy target,
that's,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where he, mm-hmm. I mean, since that's the central core of who we are and what how we're going to act, then that's his attack point. That's his target. Like, you know, it's the bullseye.
Yep. Yeah. He will try to do what to our hearts?
Shake us loose from the truth.
Yeah.
Corrupted.
Corrupted. Divide it. What
divided.
About divided
heart?
The divided heart.
The divided
yeah.
heart.
Yeah. Oh. God save us from a divided heart. That's where he really, you know, all of our past is there to accuse us.
Right.
But it's the breastplate of righteousness. That means in Christ, our heart is unified, and we have his righteousness, and we stand before God in faith and in confidence. How dare we not know that the blood of Christ can forgives us of all sin? It always comes back to that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That blood is so pure. It is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it can forgive any sin. So we just can't drag around anchors of guilt.
That's the whole problem with legalism.
Yes.
You know, I just met a woman who's in a Bible-believing church, but there's legalism. And it just ruins the whole thing. Just feel bad about it. I just feel sad for her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think everybody fights this battle on their own level, but it is, you know, that heart is a target. Mm-hmm. So it's the breastplate of righteousness. Mm-hmm. You know, legalism falls flat because legalism is some way of justifying yourself with effort and behavior, and it just does
and
not
putting,
stand.
It's putting, you know, like one person above another somehow. It's doing, and it's really sad when it's coming from the leadership that has other things correct, but...
Yeah, no, you're right. Many times it's a mixed picture.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Isaiah 61:10 really speaks of, you know, us having the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. I mean, what a beautiful thing that God provides for us. So that was all in review. This is pretty hopeless, but we'll do what we can. So verse 15, so after we've put on the belt and we've put on the breastplate, and then we have having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. So the first question is, what is symbolized in this verse, and what is the command that Paul is issuing here? When you think of feet shod with the gospel.
Yes.
You answer this call.
Give me your best shot and let me know what you came for.
Well, the NIV translation says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I think that again, that if we're going to move at all, it's not like we're moving forward to attack and slay, but we're going to hold out the good news. We're going to advance holding out the good news. We're ready to share the good news when the Holy Spirit makes, you know, compels us that we have willing hearts, open hearts and minds, and so we have that readiness. We're standing and we're on standby. Right. You know, we are ready to move forward, but we're moving forward, again, not to slay, but to save. And we can't do it, but the Holy Spirit's got us ready to move in whatever direction is going to fulfill God's purposes in someone else's life. That's kind of the image I have.
If you're barefooted, it's a lot harder to move forward because of all the rocks and whatnot you're going to be stepping on. So your feet have to be fitted.
That's right.
So you can do that.
Additional protections.
We got to be fitted.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I remember before I was saved, Christians saying little things to me. But more than the things that they said, mm-hmm. I remember them watching me. And just as you were speaking, it was like they were, I think, asking the Lord, what do I say? Am I supposed to speak now? What am I supposed to do? Because there was I remember them thinking, you know, like they were like looking through me. I could feel it.
Right.
And to this day, I can still remember those faces doing that with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you know, we just don't jump in. We are very aware of the other people, and we're very aware of the Lord, what he's telling us to say or not to say, you know.
Led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit. And then it's interesting, too, you know, in today's market, you don't have really a lot of young people around you that, well, you do, yeah. But young people are, like, really into their shoes. And there's every kind of shoe for every kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do, you know, mountain climbing or trail hiking or running or tennis or biking, there's all different kinds of shoes you have to have. And so shoes is a big deal in today's society. You know, we don't have just sandals. So, and for our generation, we don't think like that. We just put on a pair of shoes and do whatever we have to do. Again, that's like, you know, people being prepared in the flesh rather than being prepared in the spirit.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of analogies.
Yeah.
Should we go on and read Romans 10?
Yes,
can't hurt.
And actually, maybe it just hit me that the interesting what we're preparing for, ready with, is the gospel of peace. Here we are talking about the armor of God and the warfare and everything else, but what we are offering
is
the good news of peace in the midst of all of this. So,
yeah. And everybody wants peace.
Yeah, they do.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. What version do you have? You both have that.
Yeah, so you went to the verses and...
Yeah.
We spoke a bit before.
So what do you think?
What was the question we were on?
What is the meaning of the verse? What do you think prompted? What's the sort of exhortation when you think about having your feet shod to do something? You need to be ready to what?
Move.
To move. Yeah, to march. Be ready to march in the train of Jesus Christ victorious in advancing his kingdom. And what you just read was what? That's a call to what? Mm-hmm. Evangelism.
Right.
This is so important. We need to be, have this, R.P. Martin says, have in your heart and mind a promptitude of service in evangelistic endeavor. Have in your heart and mind a promptitude of service in evangelistic endeavor. What does that mean? That means you're what? You're loaded. If the Holy Spirit reveals to you someone that God has been working on or in, mm-hmm. you're there. And these divine appointments really do happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful thing. And then, what beautiful feet we have when we're...
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you know what really caught me about this verse is what is the equipment? What is the equipment of the gospel of peace? I mean, first of all, it's a gospel of peace. Okay.
And just talking about that.
Did you go? Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. I always think of
in
you.
In the midst of all the warfare and armor and
right.
everything else, it's the gospel.
It's the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
It's the reconciliation that you have championed among us. But I came up with three pieces of equipment, and all these arrows and craziness relate to that. But what do you think is a primary piece of equipment for the gospel? In order for the gospel to go forth, what equipment has to be present?
I'm just getting the word basking. I think we have to bask.
Okay.
In the light.
In the, yeah.
Of the truth.
Yeah.
In the word. In the word of God.
Well, that, the word is part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, where I was headed is that we must have the reality of Jesus Christ present in the life. The gospel is going nowhere until Jesus is within us. I mean, that's the foundation.
And we have this treasure.
In earthen vessels. Good verse.
And to be very aware of that when you're going to, no matter where you're going, the post office or, you're just not going to deliver mail.
Yeah.
You have something.
Yeah.
And you have to always be aware of the people around you.
Perfect. So. Yeah, well that awareness is a big deal because without that, we have no, if we're aware that God is real, then we will, in the time of trial, what? We will
stand.
We'll stand, but before we even stand, we will seek. If you don't believe that God is real, you won't seek him. But as believers, we're aware of him, and so we seek him. And when we seek, and then there's a spiritual cascade, I guess is what you might call it, where, we are aware of him, we seek him, and when we seek him, he will what? He will always...
He always just kind of scoops you up.
Yeah.
That's the sense I always get. I get scooped up.
Yeah. Yeah. Realize the difference, thinking of Revelation. Yeah, that's basically what you're talking about. The unbeliever, God alone can reveal himself in his time to this unbeliever. But guess what? How is it different for us?
We're seeking revelation.
Yes!
We're in relationship and we want to be in
a
relationship and
right.
love him and want to...
He is waiting to reveal himself. I mean, he cannot wait for us to give him 1 millisecond of time.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's, It's incredible.
I just love that.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So he is just waiting. And so you have awareness brings light. Okay, that's his revelation. And after the light comes joy. I mean, the joy of knowing that he is our Father. He hears us. He loves us. He scoops us up. I love that. And what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so how can you not invite him into the battle? And that invitation comes by what? What's another word for that?
Well, I think of submission and humility.
And
opening the door to
yes.
having him come into it. You know, we just turn over control. We surrender.
Yeah.
We surrender not to the world, but to him.
But you do. Yeah, we pray. I mean, it's prayer. This is, the cascade. So we're aware of him. We seek him. He reveals himself to us. We have light. We have joy. We say, oh, my gosh, God, we're trying to build a church in Roxbury. Please come.
Yes.
Please.
Right.
And join the work. And he comes. And then he co-labors with us. He doesn't blot us out. He uses our hands, our feet, our wisdom, our dollars, our influence, whatever, he will use that. He co-labors with it. What a beautiful thing that God does with us. And
could I just turn that off? Because reading the Experiencing God study guide by Henry Blackaby, but he says God's always at work all around us all the time,
yeah.
and he invites us to join him in
his work. Yeah.
Right. It's his work.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's inviting us to be co-laborers, if you will.
Yeah.
It just helps you when you realize, wait a minute, this isn't my work.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about this. This is him. All I have to do is join him.
It's his kingdom, and he's expanding it, and he's inviting us to be part
of it. Oh, boy. Gotcha. It's a mosquito, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Yeah, the emphasis is much more safe on what you're saying. But sometimes you can perceive that you're doing this work, and you got to just shut up, humble yourself, and say, God, you're doing this work,
right.
and let's co-labor. But he doesn't blot us out into a shapeless mass, does he? He uses our personality. He uses our giftedness. He uses our weaknesses.
And some things will never happen unless we say yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It just won't happen.
Yeah.
He'll do it.
He'll accomplish. He will always accomplish. But are we going to be blessed? Are we going to be a part of it? Or are we going to be left out? So excellent. Yeah. So the co-laboring, and then the beauty at the end of that line is there is fusion of the life. I mean, when Christ, when you invite him in, or you sense that you are entering into his work, just as John has said, there's a fusion of the life. You really are an empty vessel being filled with him. Mm-hmm. And so, awareness, light, joy, invitation, collaboration, fusion. Another way to look at it is there's seeking. All right? There is receiving. We receive light. And when we seek, we receive. And then we humbly request in prayer an invitation. And as we co-labor, we're listening, we're waiting upon, and we're obeying. I mean, it is all about what he's doing. And when there's fusion, there is what? What's the final goal? Or what happens to us in the end?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We're transformed.
Transformation. So seeking, receiving, praying, listening, waiting, obeying, and being transformed. Yeah, the believer is transformed by the very work involved in the advancement of the kingdom of God. We are never going to be the same for having been here this morning and for being in this church. You cannot ungrow. It is so exciting. We are constantly being changed. We're constantly being transformed. That's the first piece, the equipment, all right, the reality of Jesus Christ present in the life. The second piece you've already spoke about, it's the truth of the Word of God, okay? Nothing goes nowhere without the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth about man apart from God, that he's dead in his sin. It's the truth about man in Christ, that he is forgiven and he has eternal life. I mean, that is so fundamental to the equipment of the gospel. And then I was taken back to that previous cascade that we have spoken about, how, you know, the word of God alone can reveal. This is John has said, the word of God convicts us. The word of God shows us that in Christ, we have the gift of repentance. And then there's forgiveness, and then there's cleansing and healing and refreshment, redemption and holiness. I mean, this is all about the word of God. These things don't come out of thin air. It's all at the foot of the cross that we understand these things. And so the truth has to be part of the gospel. What's the last of the three? I don't know. John, this actually came from you. The third piece of equipment.
The reconciliation of...
Well, that's...
That
wasn't it. That's what the word...
Okay.
Yeah, that's... No, there's a word that you championed that I have really loved. It has to do with grace.
Oh, I just said reconciliation. Is that where you're going? Or a word that I've championed?
It has to do with grace.
We're all looking at each other.
Prevenient.
Prevenient.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And John, tell us what that is, because that's...
Well, that's certainly not my word. That is John Wesley.
Oh.
That is John Wesley's word.
Well,
the reality that the Holy Spirit goes before us.
He goes before us.
And is working. Again, God's working all
around us. Isn't that amazing?
The Holy Spirit goes before us to open hearts and minds and so on, and make those divine appointments effective.
Really?
By working in advance, prevenient, going before.
Going before. I love that.
Yeah.
We have every expectation, no matter how hard it gets, that God is sowing in this community and in people around this area. That's His grace at work. That is part of the equipment of the gospel of peace. We couldn't do anything without His already moving in the hearts of people. As we sit here, people are being prepared for the gospel of Jesus. That is, I love this. I mean, He is advancing His kingdom no matter what, so... All right, so that was a lot for that one, for the equipment, but that's the equipment we have. I mean, how amazing it is, and I'm sure there's more equipment, but we need to move on. Verse 16, what is the major flaming dart of Satan, and what must we always remember?
Well, you put the verse here, temptation.
Yeah.
And no temptation.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no temptation. I forget the verb, but no temptation has seized us or attacked us. Or
that is not common
to all men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God is faithful.
He is faithful.
Provide a way out so that we can stand up under it.
Yes.
When we are, and when we are tempted, meaning we will be.
Oh,
don't
my
expect
mind.
To not be tempted.
Yes. Exactly.
We will be tempted. But God has provided a way out so that we can stand up under it.
Yeah. I mean, it goes all the way back to the garden. I mean, what was the original fall? It was all about temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tempted to believe what?
Believe a lie over the truth.
Yes. So. You know, we're tempted to doubt about God's character in our afflictions. I mean, you know, Matt and Dee were taken. All right, well, I'm tempted to say, God, you stink. Mm-hmm. How could you let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, heaven forbid we go there.
Mm-hmm.
We're tempted to doubt about Christ's sacrifice for our sin. No, I murdered somebody. I mean, I can't be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it can be on a much lesser scale than that. But we're tempted to doubt that God is sanctifying you in your failure.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, like in Job, you know, he tells him how he feels, and God says, I mean, he doesn't say, but oh, really? Because God really does that to you.
No.
You say what you feel, and then He goes, oh, really? And then He provides. He shows you something so that your brain is straightened out again.
Yeah.
So you're thinking clearly again rather than you stink.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I really think God shows us more in our failure than He does in our success. Because failure brings humility. Failure brings empathy for other people's weakness. You just can't go around parading your little fat head when you fail.
No.
You get alongside of others who have failed.
Well, if you're parading your fat head, the Holy Spirit just takes off.
Yes, right.
You know, he's like...
Then you really fail.
I'm not staying here because this is really
then you fail indeed.
Yeah.
And the last part about failure is you learn dependence on God.
Yeah.
You learn to distrust yourself. And it just freaks me out. I mean, our society is so geared on success. And we view our own selves as, oh, I'm successful. And, and God teaches us more through failure than he does through our successes. I love that. So anyway, Satan is always throwing darts. And how about the shield? It's the shield of what?
Shield of faith.
Shield of faith. Yeah. What's that acrostic for faith that we've spoken of? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. It's the resting of the soul in the sufficiency of the evidence. That's how Marvin J. Rosenthal put it, and I love that.
Say that again.
It's the resting of the soul in the sufficiency of the evidence. God has shown you, he's proved himself, he will continue to prove himself. And we rest in that. And so we forsake all and trust him. You know, Satan is going to tempt us to trust all kinds of stuff. And we forsake it all. We say, Satan, no. I'm not trusting my own wisdom. I'm not trusting my own strength. I'm not trusting anything. I'm trusting the Lord. And this is a shield. I mean, the Roman shield was this great, big, heavy. It was like this. It wasn't, you know, we see the shields that like this. Well, this is this great, big, quadrangular thing that would actually catch the arrows, the flaming arrows, and extinguish them. It would catch them, and they'd be swallowed up by the, I guess it was a thick, I don't know if they made it out of, but it was a very interesting shield that that Paul was looking at when he penned this letter. And so the shield of faith, there's a couple of scriptures there you can read to your convenience. The helmet of salvation, to take that helmet. What about the helmet? What is that protecting? Yeah, your mind. So,
Martin Luther said, I can't keep the birds from flying around my head, but I can keep them from building a nest in my hair.
Oh, my God.
So when those thoughts come,
that's good.
It's a decision to make. Right. Yeah. What do you want to do with
them? Yeah. So really, it's the helmet of salvation, okay? Salvation, what are the three components of salvation that we speak of? It's a huge word, but there's a nice way to break those down to really give you the fullness of salvation. Justification. What comes after that?
At least a sanctification.
Sanctification. And what's the final?
I almost want to say purification, but I'm not sure if that if
well,
it's, is the essence.
Yeah, well, you're there, but it's glorification. Right? Justification. Our sins are forgiven. We're justified. It's not just as if I've never sinned. We did sin, but the blood of Christ covers us. Sanctification is our whole life.
<The process. laughs>
And in the end, God will shepherd us into glory. So availing the helmet of salvation is availing yourself of all that Christ Jesus has done in his saving work from A to Z, from the moment that he calls you and he revealed himself to you to the moment he shepherds you into glory and you sit down with Moses and everybody else. That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget this. Mm-hmm. That's the helmet. Mm-hmm. We have hope. We will be at the wedding feast. And it's just fantastic what Christ has done. And this Hebrews 7:25, it says, consequently, he, Jesus, is able for all time to the uttermost save those who draw near to God through him, since he always, always lives to make intercession for them. I love that. And it is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God, and we've already gone there. And just a reflection there. There's some more verses that you can look at, but just always remember the example of Jesus confronting the devil in the wilderness. That is so instructive. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Scripture written upon the yielded heart is available to the renewed mind to be spoken with Christ's authority into the moment of trial with cutting power to accomplish the will of God in sanctifying the believer, bringing glory to Christ, and crushing Satan and all his demonic schemes. I mean, that's the way we're going to be useful in advancing the kingdom of God. And in the 30 seconds that's left...
It's so crazy trying to do this.
It's ridiculous.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Pray at all times in the Spirit, you know? What is prayer? You know what? I'll leave that for John. You can have a lot of meat on the bone. And I can maybe fill in a couple of weeks with what God showed me. All right, Bill, will you close us?
Lord, we just thank you so much for the word you've given us and just the power that's in it. And Lord, we just ask that you would just remind us that we are on with your word and that we are protected and just can stay focused on you. Lord, we just pray ahead of the service today. We pray for every aspect of it for Pastor Michael as he brings your word. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.